happy Sunday evening, everyone. This is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And Ash Riot.
Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. And here we are on a very beautiful, what feels like a summer day today here in Vancouver, in Ash's house, hanging, eating candy, and excited about our program, which we are calling... Do you remember?
Nope.
Did you do your homework, Ash?
Yeah, I did. Magic. And then you fill in the blanks.
Magic. It's myths and it's realities. We are excited to be talking about magic. And the reason why I actually created the title and the reason why I put the K in brackets is because I know that a lot of the traditional magic, like Wiccans and whatnot, use the K in magic because it differentiates from just, I guess, a magician's kind of magic. It's more about the real magic as opposed to the facade of magic. And what we want to talk about is the real magic, and we want to talk about how magic influences our lives, how much of a part of our lives it is. I mean, we feel very immersed in it, not only as people, but even as a band, don't we?
Well,
no more eating candy. What a rebel.
Well, see, the whole magic thing to me is really kind of, it can get kind of diluted because of everything. I mean, even look at like Harry Potter and stuff like that, which I've never read, but I hear that it's good. But there's a real differentiation between like actual magic on Earth rather than magic in entertainment. So that's why I prefer the magic with a K as well.
Well, I actually wanted to spell it M-A-G-I-C. M-J-I-C.
Yeah,
M-A-J-I-C.
Cool.
Because you know what I'm all about? Personally, I want to create a whole new idea and philosophy around magic. That's kind of one of the things I'd like to do. Because unfortunately, magic, a lot of people are frightened of it. Because I'll just speak from my own experience, just being involved in the religious group. I was taught and told that magic is dark. It seems to be an emphasis on the darker parts of magic as opposed to the light parts of magic. And as we all know, there's light and dark, yin and yang to everything at this point, right? So we're talking about the lighter magic. We're not interested at all in talking about the dark magics or the occult and the in that. That's not...
Well, the occult isn't dark magic.
I mean, darkness in the occult is what I'm saying. So, just want to focus on the light parts of magic. Okay, that's enough.
What? I haven't done anything.
I'm taking away her sucker.
No. Give it back.
It's distracting me. She's got this rock candy sucker that she got at a wedding yesterday.
Come on. I got it for you.
Well, then why are you eating it?
I don't know.
Okay.
So
now that we're not...
This is the candid part of us.
That's right. Now that we're not eating any candy, we're going to talk about magic. So why don't you start?
All right. Start
with what you...
Okay, I'm going to start. So I've collected a whole bunch of books over the years. Just whatever book calls to me. There used to be a really amazing store in Vancouver, actually in New West, called Grimoires, and it was in the old penitentiary. And seriously, has been there. It's amazing. It had the most amazing energy. And I got a book. I don't know if I got this book there. I might have got this one at Banyan. But it's called Pure Magic, and it's by Judica Iles, I guess. Is that how you pronounce it? Anything else?
Yeah.
And she's amazing. That's probably one of the best books I ever got, Pure Magic, a complete course in spellcasting. But it's not even really about spells. It's about just magic. And, you know, spells is such a loose word. I guess, like, to me, spells have always meant, you know, like a prayer, but just directionless. You know what I mean? It can really just flow with the earth rather than just go straight to a higher power. It can go to a lot of powers. And I've been looking through this book, and I wanted to really kind of find a quote that really summed up what I feel magic is. And I got this one. Magic is a birthright. It is open to all. Yes, Harry Potter is not alone, nor is he unique. The aptitude to practice pure earth magic is present in all humans at birth. So really, it's up to us to either learn or unlearn it. A lot of times people just kind of wander away from it because it's easier. And because we're taught, I guess, from an early age to believe it's not there because it's hocus pocus and everything. But to me, the most potent form of appreciation towards the earth is learning how to work with it and learning about magic. Because it's not necessarily let's click our heels together, float some pencils like we talked about, mm-hmm. and, you know, be all freaky. that's not what it's about. It's respecting the earth. It's using the elements that we've been given to create change. So when I'm going to mention this morning.
Well, okay, sure. This is a personal example.
So this morning we wanted to bring my mom some calm. And so we held hands and we just talked about our intention. And we calmed her and it worked. And she called later and said, wow, I never thought that could work. And it did. It's all about intention. It's not about putting forth some sort of a spell. It's about really concentrating on the outcome that you want. And it's not about, okay, let's do this spell to get money. Let's put these elements together because we want to, you know, possess somebody in love. It, like, magic only works when it's for the highest best of everybody. So, I mean, sure, if you're into the dark stuff, you know, that's your prerogative. I won't touch it. But in all honesty, what's so important to me is that we can and do have the ability to do this. We have the ability to change things. We have the ability to heighten things. We have the ability to lessen things. And when it's done in love, it works. If it's done with a selfish intent, it can't work.
Well, another thing that's not going to work is not just our selfishness, because I think actually magic, this is me, I'm just going to be devil's advocate here. Mm-hmm. I think that magic can work if you do have a selfish intent, because mm-hmm. that's where the darker arts come in too, because it's mostly about self-service. It's not about connection with humanity or with the earth. It's about destruction. So I think, and we'll talk about this probably even more in depth later, it's about not only intention is paramount, but it's also about letting go. It needs to be, you need to believe it. Mm-hmm. You need to believe it to be true. Now, I love, in the Bible, Jesus talked about having faith. All you needed was the size of a mustard seed. So I've noticed, even in my own magical experience, that it doesn't have to be big and bold. It just needs to be a belief. It can be even a small belief. And then the more we practice it, the more we recognize that it actually works, and our belief gets bigger, right? Mm-hmm. So our faith and trust follows suit too. So it doesn't have to be started when we have complete 100% faith and trust. It's just stepping into and having a little bit of belief, having a little bit of faith, a little bit of trust, and stepping into the magical realm, stepping mm-hmm. into the possibilities, stepping into the impossible and not allowing it to be impossible. So you talked about, your quote is about a birthright, mm-hmm. right? And you were saying that you feel that we sometimes forget, or that we...
Yeah.
I think that's true. And you said that it's probably easier. I think it's the other way around. I think what happens is we unlearn based on our cultural teachings.
That's really true. It probably is harder to give up something that's wired into you.
And we lose it as children. Like, I spend a lot of time with children as part of my vocation. There was a time where I spent a lot of time with kids. I was a tutor, and I also helped with special needs children. And children are immersed in magic, mm-hmm. right? They live in the fairy realm.
They can see it.
They They're imaginary friends. I mean, everybody kind of goes, oh, isn't that cute? Johnny has an imaginary friend. Well, is he imaginary or is she, right? So it's kind of stepping into going backwards. Some of us have to go backwards.
That's true.
We have to go back to where we actually did believe. And it wasn't just a fairy tale. Fairy tales were reality and are reality. So that being said, I want to share something, my quote.
Yeah, and
this quote I got, just to let you know, I personally am not a Wiccan, although I do read a lot of Wiccan books. I have friends that are Wiccans, and I appreciate the Wiccan culture very much, the religion. But this comes from a Wiccan book. It's called Wiccan Magic by Raven Grimassi.
And he's amazing. He's probably like the top dude.
Very cool. He's mm-hmm. quite he's done a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, he's been on television and whatnot. But this is what I got from that book. The powers of the mind are essential to the practice of magic. But this is even more important, the next one. To live and walk a magical path is to see the world around you in a different light. What I've noticed, mm-hmm. in order for my life to become more magical and to embrace the miracles, I actually have to let go of what I believe to be real. I have to be open to transforming what is around me and seeing it in a different way. And I kind of equate it to looking at those 3D pictures. There's 3D picture posters. And I remember when they first came out, I was actually given a book of them many, many years ago. And I would go through the book and I couldn't see anything. I would be looking and looking and looking and looking, and I just couldn't see the three-dimensional picture within. And eventually I got it because I was tenacious and I wouldn't quit. And one day, I'll never forget the time when I actually saw the three-dimensional picture in the 2D, in the 2D page. And I was ecstatic because it was real. I guess I doubted it. I thought, there's nothing here. These guys, it's just a bunch of BS, right? But it wasn't. It was real. And as soon as I saw it easily. Each page, I could transform quite quickly. I could see it quickly. But to get there, it took me quite a long time. But I was going to conquer it. And so I equate that experience with what I'm going through now in terms of the magic and the miracles that are happening all around me. And I get to talk to people about their magic and miracles. And it's really exciting because there's a lot of people, and some of you are listening because you said you would be listening. We talked about this before. You're having personal experiences with it. And it's actually a little bit, sometimes can be disconcerting in a way, because when you have something miraculous happen, you kind of go, what? And, you know, did that happen? Is it real? Is it my imagination? Was it coincidence? Maybe it wasn't what happened. Maybe I'm wrong. A lot of self-doubt kicks in. So I love that. To live and walk a magical path is to see the world around you in a different light. So you have to be open-minded to changing the way you see the world. So think of that 2D to 3D kind of example that I was sharing, because I had to change the way I saw a page into seeing beyond the page. And once I changed that and realized that I could do it each page. But until I actually did that and stepped into it, I couldn't see at all. And I was very frustrated, but that's how it kind of works for me in my life. Is there anything you want to say?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to touch upon what you just said. To live and walk a magical path is to see the world around you in a different light. It's not so much about seeing in a different light. It's about allowing yourself to see the different light. It's hard enough to sometimes embark on a journey you know you're meant to, but you're not quite sure how to put on your shoes. So walking in a different light and magic as a whole is... It's about making the different light your light, and it's about wanting to embrace that different light instead of see it as a different light. It's about taking the light on and taking it into yourself, not just wearing it. It's about making it a way of life, because if we hold the magic on this pedestal that is very hard to reach and very just far off, let's say, it's harder to take it into yourself because you're always looking up. But really, truth be told, it can be right inside you and you can be looking straight at it from the inside. And that's my experience.
Yeah.
It's all inside. And I had written some things down earlier that I wanted to touch upon. One about the impossibility of magic. How are we trained to be opened to the impossibility? Well, that's easy. I can speak from my time here that it's through television, it's through the media, it's through religion. Religion's a big one. Being told that we can't and we shouldn't, because there will be an ultimate sacrifice or consequence, being either your freedom or your everlasting life. It's a load of shit. I I mean, I'm here and I'm living, and that's incredible. And it doesn't matter, you know, what's happening. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. It matters who you are and what your intention is. So if your intention is to change the views of any negativity, then why not use some magic? Not magic that changes the makeup of everything, but magic that will in turn wish to bring on new light. Not necessarily against the will of anybody, because you can't change the will of somebody with magic. But how are we open to the possibilities? Is that through religion? Well, not that's not so certain. Maybe this type of religion, like this Wiccan religion, it's very open to the positive philosophy of changing, of bringing about the new, and not necessarily having to stick with the old just because it's there. Any religion to me that stays in a box is probably not very helpful. So I want to know, everybody, the possibilities. What makes you open to the possibilities or impossibilities of magic? 888-815-9756, toll free in US/Canada, and Huntsford. That was just something on the text box. I also want to say, what locks our doors of perception? What locks them? What unlocks them? Perception is an important tool. Perception is also an important way of thinking. That's what perception is. And if you're open to changing that, if you're open to taking a look at your perception, not just understanding that it's there, if you're willing to dig underneath the perception, what is your perception?
I think it takes a great deal of courage to be willing to look at everything you've ever learned and be willing to let go of it. It's not easy. And especially when there's a lot, like Ash was saying, being attached, you know, with the threat of losing an everlasting life. That was one of the biggest things for me in letting go of what didn't serve me, which is ultimately the religion I was involved in. I think it's really quite heinous for anyone to ever tell a person that if you don't belong to this particular religion or this club, you are doomed. I think that is not coming from love. And I also wanted to mention, though, another religion. You were talking about the Wiccan religion, because they're quite open, right? And one other religion I want to talk about, because Kevin Stewart Swain, who's also in a hologram, and he's probably listening, and I hope he calls in, was involved and still is kind of indirectly in Nichiren Shoshu Buddhism. And, I mean, there's an argument as to whether Buddhism is a religion or a philosophy, but let's just call it a religion for this argument, or for the sake of this discussion. One thing that they do magically is chant. And Kevin was telling me that chanting, you can chant for a Mercedes or you can chant for world peace. There is no judgment around what you choose to chant for. Mm-hmm. So he said often people would be chanting for a Mercedes, would get the Mercedes, then gain a greater faith and belief in the chanting and the process of the magic they were creating, and then be transformed and transcend into actually going for greater things, for the collective good, as opposed to just personal gain. So I thought that was interesting, right? Just there is an aspect, an element of magic in some religions, in some philosophies, right? But personally, I'm all about everything. I believe in a world philosophy. I like to kind of embrace, I don't like to be put in a box. I don't like anybody to say, oh, well, Cheryl is this or Cheryl is that, and therefore I've boxed her in. I'm everything. And I have made a conscious decision to embrace everything that comes from light, that comes from love, and comes for the highest good. One of the things I'm constantly saying when I tag a prayer, or I tag a meditation, or I tag an intention, is under grace and in perfect ways for the highest good of all. And that is truly my intention. And to me, that's magic. That's magic. So speaking of Kevin, we have Kevin on line one. So maybe, Kevin, you can talk to us a little bit more about the Nichiren Shoshu Buddhism.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you. We can hear you.
Yes.
Okay, I missed a little bit. I actually kind of missed that bit when you were talking about the Buddhism because I was making the phone call to get in. I heard about the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo and that you could chant for what you want.
Yes.
I was
expressing, Kevin, I'll just let you know what you didn't hear. I was saying how you told me you can either chant for a Mercedes or you can chant for world peace, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure there's people that could speak better for Nichiren Shoshu Buddhism has kind of evolved into something else now, too. Anyway, it's a form of Buddhism. The Nam-myoho Renge Kyo is a Japanese Sanskrit statement, whatever. But what they're thinking, what the sort of thinking of this is that when you go into a spiritual movement, you can come in as the most self-centered, selfish person on earth. And as opposed to being berated for that or whatever, they have the confidence to know that this will increase your faith, and you're gonna learn. They have faith that you're gonna learn that this isn't gonna bring you happiness. And as things progress, you won't be chanting for the Mercedes anymore. You'll be chanting for peace on earth. And so, what I liked about it was there was potential for growth, and the people that were involved in the movement were incredible people. And this is sort of what I look for in any movement. What are the people like? What do they bring into the table? Are they successful in a practical way? I mean, do they kick ass at whatever sort of job they do? Are they moral people? Are they ethical people? Are they kind people? Are they just pretending to be kind for an ulterior motive, you know, like to sell more membership tickets in whatever religion it is? So I found that those people were amazing. And the magic was happening. I mean, it was incredible. I had a friend who was an amazing bass player from San Francisco area, basically. He came up here. He was broke. I mean, starving broke. He had faith. He had a really good attitude, and he's chanting just, you know, to put some food on the table for himself and his wife, and there's money laying in front of him as he walks up the street, and then he decides that he needs to work, and he goes and gets a job that's quite hard to get. He becomes a West Vancouver bus driver, and they tell him the seniority list will take you forever, take you 20 years to get to the top. He just, it's just not in his perception, and the next thing, he's risen close to the top in no time, just broken every rule there is because of this faith. So that's what drew me into that, was results too, was just great people and results, and it was really cool. Just to go into that, but getting back to where the show's about magic, I had a question too, just, I don't know if I missed anything, but can you get a little more practical as to what you're following, how it's, what anything that's happened or how it's improved your life or how it's made you better people or, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I could hear, like, what it was about, but not anything sort of that I could sink my teeth into.
All right, my question, I want to reflect that back at you, because while you're sharing that story, wasn't his name Danny?
Yes.
While you're sharing the story of Danny, I'm curious to know how the magic that you saw Danny experiencing influenced you. Did you have any similar experiences? Did you chant for anything in particular and have results?
I didn't really. You know, this is a very long time ago, and I let it go. I've chanted throughout my life, but I've not been involved. Well, it's come to me now. Actually, it's known as SGI Buddhism now. Not really, no. And I believe it, but at that time, you know what? I really didn't want anything. I was quite young, and I didn't want anything. I wasn't sort of materialistic or anything. I wanted to become a great bass player, and obviously that worked.
Oh, yeah, but, it certainly did. Good chanting, Kevin.
But I think that's what we were all about at that time. It was all about music. It was all about being a really heartfelt musician. And that would be magic, bringing the magic into music, whereas you can get people that play. I guess we can say this, but I don't know. We describe some people as being really white players that, you know, they're actually playing, but there's no feel, there's no groove, there's no heart. It doesn't pump. It's just very antiseptic. And what I wanted and what he was able to do and what he was bringing to me is I wanted to have a real pulse, a real groove, just to really get in there. And again, I saw other people, but I guess I've never really thought about myself. I guess it helped me musically a lot. I can tell you lots of stories about other people, but for me, I don't know.
So do you feel,
I guess,
Kevin,
it helped shape who I am today.
I was just going to say, do you feel, Kevin, that you have maybe perhaps a tendency to live vicariously more so than actual experience?
Don't know.
I'm just asking.
I think perspective is, it's a real gift to have perspective on yourself, and that's a tough one. When you have perspective on yourself, when you can truly stand back and see the reality of you, it's a hell of a gift. And maybe as much as I think that's the best thing for anyone to have, I don't know how much I have of it, but I don't know. It's shaped who I am today. It's always been a place I can go for comfort. I've never tried it to get something. I've heard someone say that miracles are the least of faith. When you need miracles for faith, that's the lowest level, because you're asking for proof. So I don't know though. I've never really chanted for anything specific. And there's things where it would be hard to tell. I was in a really bad state in a relationship, and I chanted that if this is the best thing for me, please let it sort of heal and be a great relationship. If this isn't the best thing for me, please let it dissolve as painlessly as possible and let me meet the person I'm meant to be with. I felt a miracle there. I felt that it really took control of me and got that happening. So, yes, I guess there's an example right there.
Well, that I like. Thank you, and we will answer your question as you know, as much as we can. I mean, you know us personally, so you know what we go through, Ash and I, in terms of the magical experiences that we have. Yes, we can share more. You know, we'll share more with the listening audience. We've got a couple of people waiting on the telephone lines, but I just wanted to say thank you because I really wanted to bring in the aspect of magic in Buddhism, which is a philosophy / religion, right? Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Okay, yes, have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye, Kev.
Bye.
You rock on. You're amazing. All right, thank you, Kevin. Okay, we have Andy from Portland, Oregon, on line 3. Hello, Andy.
Hi. I was calling. I was listening to some of what you're talking about, and actually, my friend George in Portland got me to start listening today. But sorry. At any rate, what I was listening to what you're talking about, and a lot of it was talking about intent, and a lot of it was talking about magic and the idea of manifestation. And I have a tendency, because I'm an astrologer, to think of things in terms of astrology. But one of the great ways that, like just as a comment, that I've found is that if we balance out our Mars and Venus, if we focus on balancing out an equilibrium between what we want, how we feel we want it, and recognizing how we go after it, then the things that we're after in life are also after us. And intent becomes less of an immediate issue, because when we're keying into that vibration of that which we want wants us, we don't have the problems of intent. Does that make sense?
That's brilliant. That is an absolutely brilliant statement. That's a brilliant sentiment, because that makes so much sense to me. That grabs me by the heart and pulls me.
Yes, it does make sense. Yeah, totally.
And it relates back to the masculine and the feminine, that strong masculinity comes from an empowered feminine sense. And a powerful femininity comes from an ability to assert oneself in a masculine way.
So it's the ultimate balance, correct?
Exactly. And one feeds off of the other. If you look at, like, the mythologies, and again, I'm an astrological dork, so you'll forgive me. But
please,
please, you're
we love this.
Yes, we love you.
If you look back to the mythologies of the birth of Venus and the mythologies of the birth of Mars, you find a very interesting thing. Both of them come from a single parent. They're both produced from a single parent. In the case of Venus, Venus is the result of when Saturn chops off Uranus is the sky god's member, and it falls into the ocean, and Venus rises up. In an astrological sense, we interpret that as, you know, Venus is the sensitivity of the great masculine father, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, there's no way else to say that.
Oh, no, that's perfect.
Mars is born. Mars is born when Juno, who is the queen of the gods, Jupiter's wife, and she gets a bad rap, but she actually was considered the only goddess that Jupiter considered his equal, and was known as kind of a strong woman herself, even though, and maybe that's why she gets a bad rap, that had a bad reputation among certain cultures to be a strong woman.
Yes.
But she became jealous of Jupiter creating Minerva or Athena in the Greek out of his head and not having her, you know, not basically him having a child without her. So she goes out and she talks to, I'm thinking it was Flora, I might have this wrong, minor goddess, and she gives her a flower that she ingests. And this causes her to become pregnant with Mars. And that this idea of the ultimate masculinity coming from a place of feminine strength and the ultimate feminine coming from a place of masculine sensitivity and how one feeds off of the other.
That's beautiful. That rings very true.
Okay. So I think that was all I had to say.
Oh, we were just waiting. That is brilliant.
So using... It's wonderful that you have a lot of knowledge, because you've obviously used this knowledge even for your own, not only for yourself, but also you're sharing it, right, in your vocation?
I'm working on it.
So you are connecting a lot. What I'm hearing is you're connecting a lot to the ancient ideologies, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
what I'm really interested in specifically is what I like to think of as kind of the other Western tradition or the other Western traditions. The idea that, like, a lot of times I think we turn to, like, a lot of us in the West are starving for a real sense of mysticism or a real sense of spirituality, because we're really given only the couple choices. And so sometimes we have a tendency to turn to other people's cultures to do that, which... It's not bad to revere other people's cultures, but there's a fine line where it almost becomes strip mining someone else's stuff. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Very much.
And what I'm interested in is reintroducing Western people to their own vibrant mysticism that is all around them, and in many ways, many of the things that we don't even realize that's where they originate, and it's around us all the time. But there is something that seems almost exotic about it, because it's been trampled down for so very long.
And that, and there's probably, I would say, a lot of fear around it too, because, you know, there's a lot of fear of the unknown in our culture. Do you not agree?
I no, oh, absolutely. Well, it's like the expression. Have you ever, you know, I'm sure you've heard the expression, an old wives' tale.
Yes.
Well, you have to stop and think about where the expression an old wives' tale comes from. Well, back in the day, who were the old wives? The old wives were midwives, and they knew that, you know, they were, in many small places, these were the people that you went to if you were sick, if you needed advice, if whatever. Well, when an outside, I don't want to say anything that's too biased against anyone in particular, but when an outside religious traditional culture pushed itself upon the peoples in those areas and tried to establish a more regimented church, they really had to break the backs of those of the very cultural institutions that already existed in Northern Europe and then wherever they went. And so there became kind of a defamation against older women, against queer people, against a lot of different groups of peoples that still,
yes,
kind of, but in at the end of the day, an old wives' tale is just simply the cultural knowledge that had been stored, the cultural story of a whole people, and it's just kind of written off and kind of laughed at.
So you're addressing within the context of the topic. What I'm hearing you address is there's a lot of myth, and my viewpoint. Andy, this is Cheryl speaking. My viewpoint is that I like Joseph Campbell very much, and he talks about myth and the importance of myth and the reintegration. And instead of seeing it as foreign, is actually accepting it and integrating it into our own selves. And and this is what I love. I love what you said about the Western philosophy, like coming into more of a mystical, because we're very much on the same page, Ash and I.
Mm-hmm.
We agree totally. And mystical is not a bad word, and it doesn't mean something that is scary or that will cause harm. In fact, it does the opposite. It's about love. It's about connection. It's about celebration. It's about unity.
Exactly.
Right? So we love that you called,
yes,
Andy.
Please keep listening. We feel like you're very much on the same page as we are, and we feel like you could be our new best friend.
can I hit you with my blog page?
Sure.
Yes.
Go ahead.
It's rebelastrology.blogspot.com. Just at least for you personally, even to look it up if you're interested.
Okay, well,
thank you, Andy. Add us on all our sites.
Yeah, just email us. Let us know how we can contact you, too. Our addresses are on our sites as well.
Okay, awesome.
Okay,
thank you so much.
We send you much love.
Bye.
And we have Jax. Jax.
Hey.
Hello, Jax. Hi.
Hi, we'll make sure this works. Okay.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm assuming you can hear me.
We can hear you.
Okay, cool.
So, Jax, what do you have to say about magic?
It's a big topic, huh? Go ahead.
What do you have to say about magic? What are your comments about magic? How does it relate to you in your life?
Magic is tricky because I, too, have many a book, but found myself never quite able to get into the whole idea of, like, spells. But what I find I like using them for is things like earth magic, like herbs and, like, especially rocks and crystals. They're really a big part of my life. So I use, like, references like that because I think, while there's an element of what you said earlier that we've unlearned what we know as kids, there's also this other flip side of we've lost a lot of knowledge that we would have learned, you know, in much more ancient times because we didn't have the technology we have. So we knew about herbs and how they healed, and we you know, had more intuition about, you know, the properties of crystals and rocks and, you know, the natural world around us beyond just simply medicine or food, but their energetic properties and how that affected us and influenced our daily lives. And I think that information we have to be taught. There aren't many people who are able to be that intuitive and get, you know, that useful information on their own. So I think it's kind of a two-part thing. So for me, that aspect, I definitely needed to be taught. But, you know, that's what I really like is having that sort of subtle earth influence, you know, in me. But
so Jackie, sorry, I just wanted to state that's what Ash was talking about in the very beginning, right? You're talking about magic in terms of connection to Earth, right? Because Andy was talking about magic from the perspective of astrology and also mythology, right? So here we're coming back again to what Ash started talking about with regards to the Earth and connecting to the Earth and using the Earth elements. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that's one aspect. That's what I'm drawn to as far as, like, books and needing the references. But all of these things have their place. You know, I think in the future, our science is going to catch up with this aspect of spirituality and be able to understand and actually see that astrology is just a way of explaining, you know, it was kind of discovered the hard way with just a lot of correlation, that if you notice these events happening, this type of person tends to react this type of way. It's a very general thing. It's kind of like just saying, what's the energy weather of the earth? Astrology explains that in some categories. And someday our science will catch up with seeing some of this energy interaction with the earth and our local environments and things like that, so that it won't be magic so much anymore. It'll be its own science, like it was way back in the day when it was come up with.
I really agree with that. I think if we evolve naturally, if we're evolving naturally, we're not going to be able to help but have, you know, the science change to a more free way of thinking. Because, I mean, so what is science? Like, I mean, you can't really go beyond even, like, so, let's say the table of elements. I mean, you can't really change an element just because you feel it should be changed. So I really do feel that as we push forward, we're going to be able to change a little bit of that real just box full way of thinking.
But Albert Einstein is a really good example, because he was a brilliant man, and we equate kind of, you know, left brain with science and right brain with art and mythology. But Albert Einstein was a great example, because, I mean, if you look up many of the things that he wrote and his quotes, he was very much embracing the idea of the quantum physics, the idea of, he never called it magic, but that element of the mystical in a sense. Did he not? Do you remember this about Albert Einstein?
Well, I'm always careful about, you know, assuming that what a person means based on what they write. I think he definitely recognized that there was an element that science wasn't explaining, that was, you know, sort of maybe his intuitive interrelationship with his environment. You know, like, he definitely seemed to recognize that there was, I don't know if he necessarily kind of, like, you know, split them off, like, this is the physics science part, and this is kind of there's this other part that, you know, I just know they don't necessarily go together at this point.
Yeah, I'm not saying, Jackie, that he was saying they were split. What I caught from what he said, and unfortunately I don't have them in front of me and I can't just look it up quickly, because I do a lot of quotes, as you know, and so I know a lot of these things just even the back of my mind. But he was talking not so much about a split, but more so about an integration. And this is what I'm hearing you're saying. I mean, eventually we won't even use the word magic, because it will just be apparent. It won't be kind of this ethereal, out there kind of concept. It'll be something that each of us live.
Mm-hmm. Good, goodly put.
Yeah. Well, not yet. And I think, I just, you know, I don't know what other people believe or think necessarily, but I do believe that there are quite a few spiritual teachers that are working that way towards helping people, you know, integrate and their understanding and in a way it's like they're integrating physics, but physics of the future, because our current understanding of physics and science doesn't support spirituality yet. It's close, but it's not quite there. But in the future, once that the understanding of quantum physics and stuff catches up, and it really gets fleshed out, which will definitely be in our lifetimes, if not the next decade, then, you know, there was a point that, oh yeah, and then it's going to, you know, all merge, basically, and our understandings are going to be, you know, pushed in slightly different directions, probably, because, you know, it just kind of changes the way everyone thinks about things, so...
I understand what you're saying. I really appreciate it, because you're really pointing out that we are in progress. And I like that, because everybody's kind of focused on, okay, science, left hand, magic, right hand, or whatever, or opposite. And it's to know that we are bridging the gap is super important, because it gives us faith to keep on pushing at it, to keep on trying. Because, I mean, if we're just kind of left with an empty bin... I mean, it's hard to live with that void, right? I mean, we're filling that bucket with water, and that's awesome, and soon it'll be at the top.
But my what I see it, why is magic not even seen in everybody's lives? Because it does exist. You know, maybe call it something different, but there are miracles abounding always. Kevin was talking about miracles don't... he sees miracles as the least evidence of faith, because... why would we need miracles to have faith? That we should actually have faith first, not miracles bringing faith. It's kind of a backwards way. But everything is a miracle. Everything. Life is a miracle. Science hasn't even been able to find out where life resides in the body. You know, there's that, how many ounces that the body is lighter when once deceased as opposed to being alive. I don't know. I think it's 7 ounces. I can't remember.
Yeah, there was, 7 some point.
So, yeah. And so where does that exist? And what part of us is continuing? Is that not magical? Is that not something that we might, if we were to use the definition of magic, see it as so? But does magic have to be like a fairy tale? Why can't magic just be what it is and exist within each of us, in science, in art, in every aspect of our lives, because then we can
embrace religion,
everything. Then we can embrace the beauty that is around us as miraculous. Everything is miraculous. So thank you,
Jackie. Thank you so much, Jackie. We'll talk to you again soon. We got to get to the next caller.
We love you.
We love you so much.
Okay, bye.
Okay, Ryan on line one from Vancouver.
Hey.
Hey, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Beautifully.
We're good. Good. What do you think of magic, Ryan? Tell us how magic affects your life, even if you... do you believe in it?
You know, I do believe... I believe in an energy that, like, magic is energy. Magic is... I do believe in miracles, and in my own life, like, I've had a near-death experience, and that was when I was 17. And so at that point, I really got thrust into seeing a miracle and learning that just, I mean, I guess for me, like, I feel like spirituality is a big part of my life, and it's really... like, I find that there's, like, if you look at the tree of life, mostly within the, like, the Celtic spiritualities, there's, like, it's like an interconnectedness between everything in the world, and I believe in a chain reaction that happens, and we are born with these abilities to, you know, to hold these, I don't know if I want to call them powers, but these abilities and different gifts that we're given. And, you know, some people have the gift of foresight, you know, some people have the gift of intuition, some people have the gift of relating to people. And, like, I think that everybody's had the experience where when they, you know, you sit down with somebody and you just feel a deeper connection with a specific person, let it be romantic, let it be, you know, just a deeper friendship than a person would normally experience, or even a connection, like, with another musician, as you guys have. You know, all of that right there is magic. It's a form of energy that's been given to us, that's been put there for a greater purpose that we may not know at the moment. But for me, that's what magic is. It's about being able to relate to other people. It's about being able to have those deep connections and feel connected to the earth, and really being able to visualize and the life and the air that I breathe myself. There's a miracle and magic in that, because I shouldn't have lived with what I went through when I was 17, but I did. So obviously I was meant to live, so I guess I should have. But magic is a very spiritual thing for me, and I think there are people out there who abuse the ability and the gift, and then there are people there who use it for the good that's out there. And I've met both walks of life, and there's such a different energy between the people. And
there's a really different energy.
So that's,
you feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's funny, like, because I don't want to get too deep here, but I know my mother, my biological mother, she was really into the black magic side of things. You know, and I've had my own experiences much younger with the occult. And it is a different energy. And it's amazing. Like, just it's really astounding how one person's actions in a certain type of magic can actually affect other people, even possibly for the rest of their lives. You know, because at different stages in our life, we're more susceptible to different kinds of energies and magic. So it's whatever we do affects people around us, and so that's like the gifts I were given. I prefer to use them for the good. You know, because I want to carry that energy. And I know people that didn't use it for the better. You know, it's very, yeah. Anyway.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that and bringing in the darker. The occult is, you know, can go either way. Occult just basically is a name that goes with anything to do with the psychic and the other realms. But we have dark occult, we have lighter occult, and I too have had some experience with the darker occult, not personally, but I've had it be around me. And you are correct. I mean, it is about energy. And when someone comes from a place of hatred or malice, then that energy is going to feel a lot different than if someone comes from love and from caring and compassion. I also want to say, though, to everyone, I do not believe, and I have actually spoken to people about this. I've dealt with people who have felt that they have been cursed, and I've dealt with people who have felt that they were, I used to work with people that were demon-possessed and whatnot and on and on. I would like to just say that it's not to disqualify the power of any kind of energetic work, but it's also not to believe that we are enslaved by a person who comes from a darker place, because we are not enslaved. We have the strength to overcome any darkness. It's if we believe we do not, we succumb. And I want to say that very, very strongly, just even from my own experience. And I think that people need to recognize that they ultimately have their own power, their own energetic source. Don't forget, we are all connected to our guides. We are connected to the angelic realm. We're connected to the greater and higher good, to the divine source. So we are never at peril at another person's dark intentions. Now, it's not to say that it's not uncomfortable, but I just want to bring hope, because I don't want anybody to think that anyone else could ever have power over them, that anyone else could ever cause them harm or could actually make their life hell, because it's their belief that that person is doing it that makes their lives hell. Okay? And often, And often energy, people who come from the darker energies, they will be very intimidating. That's part of the power. That's part of the energy, is intimidation and manipulation. So just beware that that is part of what's coming at you. And don't buy in. It's illusion. It's illusion. So light is greater than darkness. Love is greater than hate. Remember that. Because with anything, we can dissipate the darker energies. We can, when we do have the intention of love and light. So I just want to really say that, because I find a lot of people live in fear, and a lot of people are feeling victimized. And I'd love to see everybody come out of that sense of being victim, because it's only an illusion. It doesn't serve us. And myself included, I had a run in my life where I felt that I was very victimized and I was very much a victim. And it wasn't until I actually took back my power. And each of us can do that. Each of us can take our power back. We can become empowered. Believe it. Believe it. And draw on the lighter energies, right? Spiritual, being spiritual is being magical. It is working with the energy that comes from that divine realm. It's working with the higher source. It's working with the earth elements. It's working with the energy that is us. Mm-hmm. It's working with people who are of the same mindset. What happened today, Ash was sharing at the beginning of the program, we spent some time with her mom just in prayer, and we sent light to a certain situation, and we actually visualized, we went through a visualization, and we created an energy around that.
And she was so just baffled.
And it worked, because we were three gathered together. So this is where, you know, there's greater power when we're together and of a like mindset. And this is why prayer works. When you get a prayer circle happening, you know, great things can happen. It's just amazing. It's beautiful.
When intent is like doubled or tripled or quadrupled, I mean, think of all that intent going out as a beam of light. That's freaking big, man.
So thank you so much, Ryan, for calling.
Yes, we always love when you call, Ryan. We love you.
We love you.
We're fans of yours.
Love you guys, too.
Fans.
Can I just say one more thing?
Of course.
Okay, cool. One, like, I really related to what you were saying, Cheryl, about the dark not being able to, you know, to overcome the light. And, like, I have a friend who's a priest, and him and I have talked at length about this, and I really do firmly believe that doesn't matter what our life experiences have been, if we've, you know, had little minor run-ins with, you know, the dark side of the occult, or if we've been, you know, survivors of, like, satanic abuse or whatever, it doesn't matter what we've been through, as long as we're in touch with that light, with that greater good, like, that's above us, nothing in the dark can touch us. Nothing.
You are amazing.
Yes!
You gave me goosebumps.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Sending you much love.
Okay.
And we will see you soon.
All right, love you guys.
We're going to have dinner.
Bye.
Yeah, we're going to have dinner together.
Okay, bye.
Cool.
Bye, dear.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
We just want to say thank you so much to Jackie, to our bandmate, Kevin Stewart Swain, to Andy. Thank you, Andy. We send you love, too. We just want to hear from you again, Andy. We'll be on in 4 weeks, actually, just so you all know. 2 weeks from today, we're going to have a pre-recorded program on. It's called Hologram, The Backstory. We recorded it in our studio, and we speak about ourselves individually.
And you'll hear some of our songs, our solo songs.
Yeah, it's a really cool program that we put together. So on Father's Day, 2 weeks from today, June the 19th, I believe, is it not? Yes. It will be a pre-recorded program, so we won't be having any callers in, but we welcome you to have a listen if you want to get to know us a little bit better. We also welcome all of your questions, anything, if you have ideas for shows, if you want to know more about us, or if we can be of any service to you, please contact us at info@hollow-gram.com. Check out our website, hollow-gram.com, or look at us up on MySpace. We've got three singles out right now on iTunes. Fusion just came out on June 1st, and that is available on iTunes. And the Fusion is our mission statement. If you want to know more about the light and the love that we wish to bring as musicians, pick up our tune, The Fusion, on iTunes. Listen to the lyrics, because it's the message that we have for you, and the message that we wish to share with all of you. So we love you much. And
we
blessings,
love you.
And kiss your local tree, people.
Local tree? Like there's one tree per village?
Kiss your local village tree.
Bye.
Okay, bye.